from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Are they doing this for monetary reasons? Well, everybody's doing everything for monetary reasons.
It's a simple life. It's not much, but it gets the job done.
Did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
All right. Want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi, everybody. What is up?
1 week to go. Till football.
You say 1 week to go. I'm thinking 2 weeks to go. Until waking up to seeing the blind bidding process and guillotine leagues to see if you've won your bids.
Yeah, let's go.
Although that's Tuesday, it's Tuesday into Wednesday, right?
We'll wake up Wednesday morning and there will be the big report, right?
Yeah.
The big bid report on who bid what.
Who'd you get? What'd you bid on? What'd you get?
Yep. Are you an early bidder?
I mean, it depends on the player.
But you'll go, okay, you won't slow play it early on in the season? Because I think when I first played guillotine, my idea was I'm doing nothing for a month.
How'd that work
and
out?
And then I'm going to have all the money, and it did not work. Well, that year I think I made it to like week five, but I think it probably stopped short right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
spend your money. Don't be afraid to spend your money.
That's exactly right. I could give you my whole strategy. So it's funny. I wanted to talk about guillotine today, in part because I thought about that, and also in part because I think every time we talk about a guillotine league, there are people that, yesterday or the day before, I asked you what percentage of people know about the Scott Fishbowl.
Right.
I think the number is low.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's a good cause, and I understand, you know, the fantasy community knows about it really well. And in guillotine, I feel like, how many people play fantasy football? Hundreds of millions, right?
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yes.
The number of people that play fantasy football. And I think Dynasty might be less than that, and then guillotine is even less than that.
You think guillotine's below Dynasty? That's probably right.
Yeah, but it's probably above Vampire.
Yes.
I think
it's above Vampire. It's probably below Best Ball.
Maybe.
Best balls become more and more popular with these apps, Underdog and
that
others.
That might only be because all of you fantasy addicts play 60 best ball teams.
Right?
And you're not even really in a league when you play best ball. You kind of are.
There's less people playing best ball, but there's more leagues out there.
Yes. You don't need friends to play best ball. You could just go online like, oh, here we go.
I'm in a draft. I could do it right now.
Exactly. You trip and fall, and you land in a best ball league. That probably happens to you on your way to your car.
Right.
Guillotine, of course, you know, for those of you that don't know or have thought of dabbling in it, it's where everybody drafts a team, and the rules are pretty simple. Don't finish last.
Yep.
That week. Week one. Here we go. Boom. Did you finish last? No. You made it.
You're alive.
If you finished last, sorry, your season is over.
Yep, you get the chop.
And then your team has all of its players go on waivers. And if you've ever been through waivers, you know how waivers work. The difference is waivers, instead of being guys like Pierre Strong Jr.
There's a name.
And Gardner Minshew.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, going on waivers right away week one, there's Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramondre Stevenson.
Like, sure.
Reasonably good. Trey McBride. Players.
Yeah. Right. Real starters. Guys that would immediately go in your lineup.
Real starters.
Yeah.
And again, like if you get one or two of those guys right off the bat, well, guess what? You can probably kick your feet up and last another 6-7 weeks before you even have to think about it. Because with the big guillotine league, there are a lot of bad teams.
Yep.
In the league we do, we have 20 teams.
Is it up 20?
It's 20. It's 20 because we have a double elimination week.
Yeah.
Which I should check to see, by the way, if that's still available to us. Because how it works is Thanksgiving week does not have any buys. I think that's still how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So for Thanksgiving, week 13 this year for us, week 13 will be the double elimination.
Two teams that week.
Two teams get knocked out.
Okay.
And then we do a three-team final.
Should there be a max to guillotine leagues? That's one thing I have not found yet in my endeavors.
This is
every league I'm in grows by one or two every year. And like usually it's not a problem, right? Because you just throw a double elimination week in there and
exactly.
You're fine.
The
you
question
can kind of have it, and you can have an odd number, right? You can have 17 if you want.
You could have 10. You could have
you
7.
Have 10.
You could do whatever you want. It's very, very open to whatever you want.
Yep.
I don't know that I would add another. Do I want another double elimination week and a three-team final, by the way?
Do you think 20 is probably the...
I think 20 is the number.
That's the number? That's the max number?
It has worked well the last couple of years, so I think 20 is the number.
Okay.
But I was hanging out last night thinking about 1 week till the season, and then 2 weeks until we get to go through that. 2 weeks until I'm staring at my fantasy football rosters nonstop. I think I am like most others. Is my experience the same as everybody else's? I don't know here. When are your drafts? Are all of yours done?
No, I have... Oh, I might only have guillotine drafts left, though. I think I have two guillotine drafts, then I have Paul Hamilton's league.
Okay. So you still have three drafts
left. So I've got that draft coming up. I got three drafts left. Yep.
Yeah, I also have three drafts in the next week.
Yep.
I have a draft on the first, the second, the fourth. Oh, I'm sorry. I have four drafts. The first, second, fourth, and fifth.
Yeah.
Four drafts in 5 days.
Well, they have to happen within the next week.
That's right.
Yeah, because you got to get it in by the opener.
I have one league that drafts during the opener every year, which is a nice, it's easy to do.
Do those points count?
Absolutely. Yes.
So during the opener, you're drafting during the opener, and whoever's playing in the opener, those points count if you draft the guy?
Yes.
So if Travis Kelce, that wouldn't affect it.
Exactly.
If Pacheco has four touchdowns in that game next week.
By the time he scores four touchdowns,
it'd be too late.
It's an auction league, also. He scores his first touchdown, someone's going to say Pacheco.
Right. And he would already be picked by the time
he might be.
Nelson Aguilar, there we go. He has four touchdowns, and he's not someone that would otherwise be drafted. And someone decides at 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to draft Nelson Aguilar and bank these points for week one. That could happen?
Sure.
Okay.
It's never,
a little wrinkle,
ever happened.
Okay, it's never actually
impacted. It's never happened. We draft during the opening game every year because with a bunch of people in their 40s, it's much easier to actually get everyone together when you have a date on the schedule.
Uh-huh.
And when we do it the opener every year, people know 4 months out that day. That day I've got to go to my buddy's house and draft a league. And we get to watch the game, which makes the draft process much less annoying if someone is taking a long time to bid up a player or if you want to, the two people are going back and forth on some quarterback and you're not in it, like, boom, check out and watch Chiefs-Ravens for a little while.
Okay.
So it's never been a problem, and actually, I like it. I would recommend it for anybody that drafts during that game.
Yeah, I'm thinking back, the last time you would have had a player like this that could have made a decision like that possible was Kareem Hunt.
What did he do? Oh, against the Patriots.
Seven years ago. So that was a long time ago. Yeah, he had 246 yards and three touchdowns in that game.
It probably would have won you week one.
Yeah, and he was a rookie that you might not have drafted high otherwise. So, yeah, it's been a minute since a guy like that happened.
And again, it's auction, so it's not snake. So if he has 230 and three touchdowns in, someone puts his name up, who wants him?
Yeah.
No one's just going to steal those points. It's going to be a decision. You want to spend that money, you can go for it. Go for it. Go ahead and do it. So, yeah, I'm starting to prepare myself for the part of my brain that takes over for running fantasy football to, get back and get running.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll occupy a lot of time.
We got to get these receivers figured out before I get to my drafts coming up this weekend. Because I have not yet decided at any point in any draft that I've done about whether it was CeeDee Lamb before he signed, or whether it's Ayuk, or whether it's Chase. Any of these guys that are just not at their camps, I've just not completely ignored it. Not thought about it for an iota whenever I am left to decide like whether or not I should draft this player. And the next three drafts I do, I don't know, I think I might be thinking about it a little bit. It got ugly with Ayuk yesterday, I think. At least uglier than it's been to this point. And I think it got uglier with Chase than it had been. His coach basically said he has no idea if he's playing week one. And he hinted at that 2 days ago when he said, like, I'm confident he'll play. And then yesterday was different. Yesterday was more like, I don't know, he might. He could sign by the end of the week, but we thought he was going to sign 2 weeks ago. And then the Ayuk one definitely was uglier than I think it's been. So I think by the time I hit my next drafts, like, those two players are actually going to be real decisions now.
Both cases are cases where teams are shooting themselves in the foot. What is there? I saw Benjamin Solak, ESPN, tweet this. Why in the world would a coach say we expect him to practice if you don't know if he's going to practice? Why would you say it?
Well, they were daring him, right?
I guess so.
They're basically throwing the ball in his court. Like, we're expecting you to practice. Go ahead. You make it ugly. But even though when doing that, you are the ones that are creating the environment that can make it ugly.
Yes. These teams create their own problems. I like to make this point a lot about the Bills, because the Bills pay their guys and they give extensions, maybe to a fault. When's the last guy got ugly with Poyer? And they said nice things about him the whole way.
He never got ugly.
He never held out. He went to the open market and he came back. Okay, previous to Poyer, who was it?
Jarris Bird.
A decade ago. Safeties. That's it. This is not just the caliber of player you get. It's not just the attitude of the player you get. It's how willing a team is to say, like, yes, we will pay our good players.
They used to pay, even before McDermott and Bean, they used to pay the quarterbacks even. But they paid Tyrod and Fitz.
Yeah.
Not that long after, was it after 1 year for both of them? Like, the Bills, I mean, they paid Darius $100 million. I don't know that there's ever been someone I can think of other than Bird that got, like, Jason Peters, but I'm going really far back.
That's
now.
Right, way far back. Yeah. And again, Jason Peters is another example. Like, if the Bills wanted to keep making that ugly instead of trading him, what would they have done? Let him miss practice, say he should have been fined.
Right.
Here's a guy that's playing left tackle at an all-pro level, at a Hall of Fame level, and they said they didn't want to do his contract over again. And instead of everybody looking bad, they traded him.
Right.
So
that equivalent would have been like if the Niners traded Ayuk back in March.
Yep, in
because
March.
That's how long this has been going on.
In March, who would be mad about it? Who would look bad? The Niners, well, we traded him because we felt we had to. We weren't going to pay that. Yeah. And Ayuk wouldn't look bad because, oh, he got traded. He was looking for a new deal. These hold-ins and hold-outs, meanwhile, in San Francisco, it's not just the receivers. Trent Williams, same spot.
Yep.
There's a guy that is the best in football and wants to be paid like it. And the salary cap makes it difficult, of course. Like, that's always the thing that makes this difficult. It's, the Ayuk, yesterday, the Ayuk story, I started thinking about this, and I want to be careful, because listen, hand up, all right? I'm going to admit something to all you out there. I know we talk about receivers a lot. I know it.
And this receiver.
This receiver a lot.
Yeah.
And I know that the last thing I actually want to do is talk about next offseason on August 29th. So, if I could, I want to pull like the Let's Get Stupid umbrella over me without having this be Let's Get Stupid.
Yeah.
I think I am shifting towards, I hope Ayuk gets ugly all year, waits a year, and is a UFA at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will be, ready? Hold on.
Yeah.
You've got $60 million. Any ideas on who you might want to spend that on? I think I've got a receiver named Brandon Ayuk would do that. Because you know what Ayuk is, among other things? Everybody here wanting to say how important Mac Hollins will be because he's going to run block. Ayuk can do that. Ayuk does that as doggedly as anybody.
He's almost kind of like Diggs and Gabe Davis in the same body.
He does it all.
Yeah.
And he's incredible. So I think I'm, as someone who likes him as a player.
Yeah.
And has him in Dynasty in a couple places. But I just like him as a player. Ayuk for me was Diggs before Diggs got to Buffalo. I loved Diggs as a player in Minnesota. I just liked watching him play. Amon-Ra St. Brown is like this. I just like watching that guy play. And this is Ayuk for me. I think I'm just going to root for. I hope he sits for 10 weeks and then plays, and then he's a UFA and some team can trade, I don't know, a second round pick for his rights and sign him. And the Bills have 2 seconds.
All right. So, one that they got for Diggs. Imagine if they traded the Diggs pick just to hit the refresh button on it a little bit.
Right. And I don't, I'm scared to do this. I don't want to do this where I say, would you know, put up a Twitter poll. Would you do that? Would you trade next year's second to bring in because I don't want to think about next year's offseason.
Right.
As we're sitting here before this season.
Would it matter if it's, I saw some takeaway yesterday that, well, like, what was the comment from John Lynch? At some point, you've got to play.
Yes.
And even, you could take that even literally. I don't think he means it literally, but you just mentioned, like, he's got to show up by what, week 10 to toll the contract? Or else, technically speaking, if you just sit out the whole year, the contract year isn't burned. So the nine, you'd be right back in the same situation a year from now. So he has to play a few games.
Which is what Le'Veon Bell did. He sat a whole year
right.
And was in the same spot and turned down, like, $12 million or whatever it was.
But the Steelers just decided we're not going to do this again and we'll let your rights go. But remember, there was a time during that season where everyone thought, okay, Le'Veon Bell's going to show up by week 10, right? Le'Veon Bell's going to show up by week 10 because he has to. And he just didn't. So Ayuk, I don't know, if it gets that ugly, like it started down that road a little bit yesterday, and he starts to hold out into the season, does he suddenly become like a deadline idea? For teams? Because
only teams with room, though.
But that becomes different, right? Because every game that passes, I think his cap hit goes down and down and down. And I think if you have that space, I don't really know exactly how that works, but I've heard that said, that it's easier to make a trade for a guy like this in season because you're only paying half the salary that you would have been if you trade for him right now. So if that is how that works, I would think he's more tradable during the season. And then, I don't know, doesn't it become more about like what kind of season are the Bills having?
Yeah.
If they're having a season, do they say like, well, we're not really ready to do this right now in the middle of a season, but if they're winning,
okay.
If they're 10-3,
now,
or it would be lower than that. If they're 8-2 by week 10 and they think they're a final piece away from, okay, wait a minute, we actually are this good, let's go get that final piece and he's not signed yet and maybe even still sitting out, let's go get him.
There's a topic for this season that's kind of juicy, which is, all right, the Bills are right at the deadline, and the choices are stick with it and have your transition year, or
pivot.
Get aggressive and try to pull it out of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, what did they do? They got aggressive and tried to pull it out of the fire. They traded for a starting corner, and they fired their offensive coordinator.
Right.
Like, last year was a team that was viewed as, if it's not going well, we need to do things to get it right.
Yep.
And it would not, I don't think you'd be crazy to make a case that this year you shouldn't do that kind of thing. I don't want to spend capital. I don't want to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spend draft picks because in my reset, I saw yesterday Kevin Cole, Unexpected Points podcast, refer to the Bills as a forced reset. And during a reset, you want to make sure you don't undo that. You know, would you trade your first-round pick to try and pull it out of the fire this year? Of course not. We've had these conversations about the Sabres forever where, you know,
yeah.
We want them to make a trade, and they never do, and it just kind of stays where they are. The difference is, if the Bills were ever having a season where it's not going the way they want to, wouldn't we be saying, make a move or two? You've got Josh Allen. Just get in.
Mm-hmm.
If they're on the outside, it's just get in. Last year was not that far from this. 6-6. Just get in. And they went on to win the division, and everything was, you know, generally fine.
And a big reason, or one of the reasons, was they nailed the trade, didn't they?
They nailed the trade.
The guy they got, I mean, you can't really get much more from a mid-season acquisition.
Than a number one corner who turns the ball over, what, 5 times?
Right, yeah.
Like he was a ball hawk for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
4 interceptions, including a pick six. He had 2 fumble recoveries.
6. All
right. So six takeaways.
I shortchanged him when I said 5 takeaways.
It's pretty incredible.
6 takeaways.
So would it be different, though, if they would it be like you would be more open to a trade if they were great? Is that what makes a trade more likely? If you're 6-6 again, is it, well, like, this is the reset year, let's take our medicine, let's get through it, we're not going to go all the way this year anyway, versus if they're 10-2
or they're 8-1
or 8-1,
they look dominant.
But then doesn't that get to, well, I'm 8-1, what do I need to make a big trade for?
Well, people would say that, but I would not. I would want them to push in further. If we're this good, you never know when the year is going to be the year, right? Which is why they went and signed Vaughn, because it was, we feel we are close enough to go push on this. And you know, Vaughn's contract and what that represented was an aging player with a bit of a risk, and they've paid the price for that. And the money on that was big. It arguably cost them some other pieces along the way. It's one of the reasons they probably are in this kind of cap jail. I don't know. It's always an interesting case. There's a Sabres comparison there, too. In 06-07, they were so good, they felt, what'd they trade for? They traded backup goalie. That's what they switched on.
Backup goalie, and they signed a bunch of AHL defensemen.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Or traded for.
Whereas the year before, it was Zubras. Let's get Zubras.
Yep.
So, right? Do I have that right? 05-06 was Zubras?
Yeah. No,
it was 06-07. Okay, so they did go in.
05-06 was the year they did nothing at the deadline.
That's right. They were surprise good.
Right. All right.
803-0550, finding our way to this. From guillotine to Ayuk. What should the Bills do at the deadline?
Yeah.
You know? Hey, sometimes it works that way. 803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Coming up on the show today, we've got, we'll check in with Sal. He's going to come on at 7:30. At 8:30, we'll talk a little UB football. Brad Ryder's going to join us. And at 9 o'clock, the Titans. I was flirting with a question about the Titans. We're gonna talk with our guest at 9 o'clock about Will Levis.
Mm-hmm.
Is the NFL a better place if Will Levis turns into something good? And I think the answer to that is yes. And yes. I wanted to go ahead and I almost was thinking about comparing him to, like, what would be better? Caleb Williams is great or Will Levis is great? Which Will Levis is a bit of a long shot.
Yeah.
And I don't want another good quarterback in the AFC.
Right.
But I wonder what kind of belief there is in Tennessee about Levis. And when we do this at 9 and talk about the Titans, the question I kind of have is, are Titans fans invoking the name of Josh Allen when they talk about him? Listen, we saw flashes, and the physical skills are unlike many others.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I don't know if he's had the arm strength, but the running through people, the dual threat.
He throws the ball deep a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So I think he's got that too. I think who else would you be comparing him to? There's not many guys that are, you know, trying to run through your face while also trying to throw it over your head.
That's right. Is there a third guy? Those are two. Who's the third guy?
Cam Newton.
Culpepper used to. Newton used to.
Culpepper
was big at least and ran fast.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're thinking about Allen. And in a world where every quarterback in the world has been compared to Josh Allen, like in the last 5 years, I think Levis is not that bad. Like, I don't think he'll ever be that good. That's a super high bar. But he doesn't play that differently. He tries to play similarly, I think.
It's a fun style.
He would be a lot of fun. It would be, I mean, we don't get Winston anymore. Winston's a lot of fun to watch, and we can't get him in a starting job. So Levis would make the Titans specifically more fun. When have the Titans ever been fun in history? Ever?
Steve McNair was kind of fun, but I didn't like them then either.
Okay.
They might have a nasty.
Not in my lifetime.
They might have a really nasty defense, by the way, the Titans.
Nasty isn't good?
Yeah, really, really nasty good. Their defensive line. Go look at their defensive line. They've made big, big additions to their defensive line. They invested in quite a bit.
Legarius Sneed they brought in this offseason.
Yes, they did. The defense could be very, very good.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550. Josh Allen addresses being called overrated, and I have an open letter or an oral letter, whatever. I'm gonna talk about it. I'm not going to write it. I've got an idea for Allen.
Okay.
I've got a real... I'm gonna plead with him about his next step, his next career step. He can make a choice. And I think, well, not everybody would love it, but I sure would. So Josh Allen responds to being called the most overrated quarterback, and the internet and Bills fans run to him to defend him in a way that is,
I heard a good take. I actually heard a good take on him being named the most overrated quarterback in the league by 11 players.
Yeah.
By the way, from none other than Nick Wright had a good point about this. The Bills fans will not be mad at. They will like the point Nick Wright made about Allen being voted the most overrated player in the league.
All right, we'll get
to
that.
We also have to get to, I think, Tage Thompson went too far.
Tage Thompson.
I think you went too far.
About the black and red jerseys?
Yeah.
All right. Plenty to chat about. It's a nice Thursday. It's going to be relatively nice again today. And we're 1 week from the NFL season beginning. Chiefs and Ravens a week from today. Jeremy and Joe, and join us. Give us a call, 803-0550 on WGR.
Yeah, the no fear thing has kind of bitten me in the butt a couple times, because when I go to Highmark, I'm sure there's going to be a piece of my rib on the 30-yard line. I didn't see Ed. Ed came up and apologized to me. No, my one condition for signing here was I just can't be locker mates with Matt Milano. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, honestly, the ribs are good. The ribs are good. 2 years later, we finally healed.
Mike White. Go back and watch that hit right now.
It's the hardest hit you can legally give out, I think, in the NFL.
Bill's new quarterback on the practice squad. Here it is, the Milano huge hit on Mike White.
It's like a spear more than a hit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
like a WWE spear.
Roman Reigns, yeah.
Roman Reigns. I would have said Edge. But
it might be too. It might be Edge. Sorry.
Isn't it the same thing?
Roman Reigns had a spear.
I think they both do. Isn't it the same thing?
They might both have a spear. I don't know. I'm embarrassed to not know, unfortunately. But yeah, it is. I just paused it right in the moment where Milano's shoulder is right into Mike White, the lower ribs,
yeah.
Right where the pads probably start to stop.
Mm-hmm. Are you watching in full speed, too?
I am. Slow motion might be even better. You see more of the head movement.
Uh-huh.
And, man, he is down. That's a rough one.
Doesn't he come back in that game? I remember that, because I think Bills fans on Twitter were like, there was more of a moment of respect for a Jet than I've ever seen in my life, because it was ever like, wow, look at this guy.
Yeah.
He's back?
Was
really?
The Oliver hit after that or before that, though?
Must have been.
I think it was after.
I don't remember the Oliver hit.
No, there was another hit after he came back, and it was like the same thing. Like, it was, Rocky and someone where
throw
like
the towel.
But, like, they won't stop. Like,
yeah, Rocky IV.
Guy, throw in the towel. And there's Mike White just taking these licks, and he just kept getting up.
For the Jets. Of all the teams to take all those hits for.
Yeah.
Speaking of New York football teams, you just alerted me to something. Malik Nabers is switching to number one.
Yes.
I saw he was going to wear number one, which, in my opinion, you should skyrocket his fantasy stock.
Mm-hmm.
Switching to number one as a stud receiver. We've got some real good number ones and number zeros. Keon Coleman wearing number zero is pretty good.
Yep.
Curtis Samuel wearing number one, that's good. And Malik Nabers is going to wear number one. The Giants unretired the number. I did not know this was the first number ever retired.
Yeah, in pro football at least. I think it was 1936 for Ray Flaherty.
Flaherty. Ray Flaherty, who... Here's how you know
1935.
Here's how you know it was the 20s and the 30s. The story of Ray Flaherty, he played end for the Giants.
Uh-huh.
And along the way, ready? Flaherty played end, joined the Giants in 1929, and after 2 years as the Gonzaga basketball coach. He joined the Giants in 1929, and after 2 years as the Gonzaga basketball coach, returned from 31 to 35, and then later became a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's credited with the behind-the-line screen pass and the two-platoon substitution system.
Mm.
In the Hall of Fame in 1976, Ray Flaherty.
You know it's the 30s when you go to his Pro Football Reference page and his position is R.E.? So what, right end?
Right end.
And he led the NFL in receiving with 21 catches for 350 yards, by the way, is what he led the NFL in receiving with.
So it turns out it's up to the family to decide here, right? Like, I guess.
Yeah, he got permission from
the Flahertys. The
family, yeah, that you can wear number one.
Do you only need permission from the family? I'd imagine it's the family and the team.
I think probably both. Probably both.
There are some franchises that have the same number retired by two people. Don't the Yankees have two guys with the same number retired? Or the New York Rangers. There are some franchises that have, two guys wore this number and we retired it for both of them.
Okay.
I'm checking to see if the Yankees are one of them. Somebody listening is losing their mind and going to remember this. All right, I'll find it.
The Giants, though, by the way, another reason you know that this was the 30s football, Flaherty played for the New York Yankees.
Ah, yes.
The football New York Yankees, of course.
Adam Graves and Andy Bathgate of the Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Both number nines are retired.
Okay. Will the Sabres do that for Vanek and Dahlin? Sorry, loaded question for 6:37 in the morning. But neighbors, though. Him getting number one, like he put out a statement, like I know, like my responsibility right on this front, or maybe that wasn't the word he used, but John Mara used that word. The Giants owner, who, by the way, he's Mr. like, hey, I don't want these crazy celebrations out here, right? He wrote, Malik understands that this comes with a certain responsibility and he needs to conduct himself and represent the organization and the Flaherty family.
Well, it's funny you mention that. Brian and Tonawanda, we're going to get your call one moment. You may or may not remember, CeeDee Lamb re-signed with the Cowboys. What number does CeeDee Lamb wear?
88.
Why does he wear 88?
Didn't Jerry Jones tell him to wear it?
Yes.
Because he wants his number one receiver wearing 88?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another example of the owner felt, I want to give you this number. This number is important to us.
Yeah.
You have a level of blah, blah, blah. And if you're CeeDee Lamb, I thought this during contract stuff. Like, are you kidding me? You drafted me and thought how important I was and how important a number on me was. And now I have crazy produced. Am I supposed to believe you're not going to pay me?
Right.
Like, you're not going to let me walk out that door. You gave me 88.
Right.
Numbers. Good stuff.
And he does too, right? Because like, not, man, there's more pressure on you now when they unretired the first number ever.
Ever retired.
And imagine how dumb you look if you're the... he's not going to turn out to be like a bad player. He's going to be incredible. But imagine he just becomes like a basket case or something. And him and them start fighting all the time or whatever over who knows what. And then you look back and go, we unretired our number for that guy.
Yeah.
The first number ever. It does set a little bit of a dangerous precedent.
A tweet, whatever, somebody writing in. Yogi Berra and Bill Dickey, I believe, both have number 8 for the Yankees.
Okay. Number 8 for the Yankees? How many numbers are retired for the Yankees?
Oh, it's all of them.
That's why Judge is wearing like 99 out here.
Yeah, it's like all of them.
Okay.
Brian and Tonawanda. Hey, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Quick question for you. Yesterday I was watching the Pat McAfee show, and Bill Belichick was on talking about how it was harder to attract free agents due to the higher tax brackets in the Massachusetts area. Having said that, what would your thoughts be on states that have higher tax brackets, such as New York, California, etc., having a higher salary cap to compete with the states such as Florida, where they have no state tax?
Thanks, Brian. I saw this mentioned by an NFL reporter, I forget which one, but someone was pointing out this idea, like Florida has state income, no state income tax, and you know, Texas and Massachusetts, they're all different. One thing worth mentioning, all these players play on the road 8 times. And this is something that I've learned, that if you're a professional athlete, if you're a hockey player, you get taxed everywhere you go. So if you play 41 games in New York, 41 games, boom. Then they also play a couple games in New Jersey and a couple in Canada and a couple in Texas. And all of that per game, that all is – you have to do all of that. So football –
so you get to, if you play a game in Toronto, you get Ontario,
yes,
Texas.
As I understand it, that is how – you're going to Canada to work.
Okay.
And if you're an NFL player, you're a Bills player, you're going to get taxed in – or not – in Florida, in Maryland when you go to Baltimore, in Kansas City. That's how it works loosely. Apologies for not knowing all of it. But anyway, what I saw the NFL reporter point out was that, okay, you've got a massive difference between New England and Texas. So what happens there is that agents will ask for more from a team in New England.
Okay.
And teams like Dallas will ask for discounts. Well, you don't need the same money.
Right.
You're in a different kind of state here. Come on. You don't need the same contract as Justin Jefferson. So it does factor in, but it how much of a difference is it? I'm sure it's a difference.
Do you think there are times players and agents, though, will say to that, like, hey, you don't need this. It's the same money in your pocket at the end of the day as Justin Jefferson, but the guy might go, yeah, but I want it. I want the number.
Exactly.
I want people to know I'm the highest paid receiver. I want people to think or know I'm the highest paid receiver in football.
Yeah, exactly.
I want the number $38 million per year out there. The agent especially is going to want that, right? So that probably happens and evens it out more than you think, too. I think this has been a storyline in hockey all offseason also, because Florida has been getting so many players recently, and like, hey, should we switch this and switch that? And there's been a couple studies on it that like it's not really making much of an impact.
No,
it's making a little bit of an impact, but not a ton.
And there's so much team control in most of these sports that by the time you get to free agency, like I saw – who said it today? Like you said, Belichick's on the Pat McAfee show. And Ben Volen of the Boston Globe jumped on that. The idea that any Patriots fan should be using that is an excuse. Like, that's an excuse.
Wait, using what? The Belichick's?
Using that, well, that's why New England's not getting free agents. It's the taxes. Like, no, that's not why.
Oh.
That's not why.
Right.
And, you know, how many teams in the Northeast are super competitive? Von Miller signed with the Bills. Huge.
Right.
Like, the Bills are getting free agents. So it is a factor. Does it determine where somebody signs? It might. Maybe Gabe Davis chose Jacksonville because the other offer was the same and he's going to put more money in his pocket, or maybe he wants to go play where he was in college, basically, right?
Like, right.
So there are a lot of factors. The idea of giving the teams more cap space, I don't think there's much of a push for that really at all. I really don't.
Doesn't sound like it to me.
Doesn't sound like
it's ever anything either that's like, hey, this is on the table for the owners today at the league meetings.
Yeah.
Or this is even on the docket to discuss. I feel like I've never seen that it's more than just an idea in the media.
More calls on the other side, 803-0550. Dave Glenn, we'll get right to you. We're open for you. And I've got to tell you at the top of the hour, my idea for Josh Allen, and it has to do with all the overrated stuff.
Okay.
And the trash talk stuff. It's time. It's time for Josh to take it the next step. You might know where I'm going. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Happy Thursday, Jeremy and Joe with you. 1 week from the NFL season. How will you be handling the season watching the NFL's most overrated quarterback, fourth best player, and best trash talker all at the same time?
Yeah.
He responded to that. We'll get to some of that as well coming up top of the hour. The NFL media on its ear.
They love a good overrated list.
Oh.
Love it.
Who doesn't? I'm ready to call some people overrated, too. It's our turn. It's our turn to fire back. Come on, Bills Mafia. Give us a call. Who's overrated?
Mahomes.
Probably.
Uh-oh. I was kidding.
Hold on.
Was kidding.
Seven people called him seven players in this poll said he's the greatest player of all time already. Can I say that makes him overrated? I don't yet think he's the greatest player of all time. Seven players in this poll did. Is he the greatest player of all time? If you say no, you think he's overrated by those seven players. That's how it works.
Uh-huh.
He's overrated. Boom. You know who else is?
Who?
This one I actually believe. I saw Chris Trapasso tweeting about this. Jalen Hurts, totally overrated.
Jalen Hurts.
Totally.
The tush push?
Yeah.
All of it?
He threw like 24 touchdowns last year.
Yeah. Again, doesn't part of that, though, because every time they got to the 2-yard line, he was running it in? Wouldn't he have had 30 if they didn't have the tush push?
No.
No?
Somebody else would have those rushing touchdowns.
Not all of them. He scored like 15.
Hold on. It's a lot. Dave and Lovejoy. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Morning.
My thoughts are that I hope the Bills merchandise and jersey department are prepared for record sales of Joe Andreessen's jersey.
Would he be available in the Bills store down there?
You could custom make it, probably.
I like the idea of they do this in basketball. I don't think they do this in football. Put the nickname on the back of the jersey. Sell 44 Buffalo Joe jerseys. Those would sell a bunch.
That's right. Buffalo Joe's a good jersey.
Buffalo Joe on the nameplate? That would sell.
You have to buy one of those then. If your name is Joe.
If there's a Buffalo Joe.
You have to get it.
I think that's right. Yeah. Well, I'd wear it.
I mean,
it's kind of like wearing my own name on the jersey, though, and I don't know if I like that. It's not me, but
if it's your name,
it's not associated with you, though.
I got my wife a Tre'Davious White jersey after we got married. Like, hey, that's you now.
Here's the thing, though. If
somebody has your name, wear it.
Listen, I'm hopeful he goes on to have a long NFL career here or becomes like London Fletcher, right? Like, undrafted guy that just has a long career. But in 5 years, if he hasn't been in the league for four, and I'm walking around with a Buffalo Joe jersey, I'm going to have to explain to people that I didn't get a jersey with my own name on the
back. If it says Buffalo Joe, people are going to know.
It's the obscurity.
They're going to think I call myself Buffalo Joe.
Why don't we call you? Well, we can't because it's taken by Joe.
No, now it's been taken. Which is fine. That's fine. He can perfectly fine be Buffalo Joe.
Well, then you put duct tape over it and you write sneaky again and everybody wins. Glenn in Virginia. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good. So two questions on defense. One is, have they officially announced who's going to be calling the defense? And then secondly, what do you guys think the odds are of two guys on the defense getting 10-plus sacks this year? I'll hop off and take your answer. But thanks, guys.
Thanks, Glenn. Bobby Babbage is going to call defensive plays.
Yes. It was made official.
Yes. And we asked, you know, Sal said he wasn't surprised. Like, everyone thought it was going that way. The odds of 10-plus sacks for two guys. Funny you mentioned that, Glenn. During one of the breaks here, I was just, you know, looking at odds, numbers, and Greg Rousseau to get 10 sacks. So that's the first one. He's probably the favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greg Rousseau to get 10 sacks for the Bills is plus 500.
Okay.
Yeah, roughly plus 500. The next candidate would be Vaughn?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Ed Oliver.
Okay, defensive tackle doing it.
He came, what was he, 9.5 last year?
Yep. The biggest problem for the Bills in getting sacks this year is that they play a lot of good quarterbacks. But that said, it's one of the funny things. Tua doesn't get sacked unless he plays the Bills.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons they win. They cover up things in the secondary and they get to Tua. Most teams don't. They don't get to Mahomes, generally.
Nope.
Lamar, I mean, the quarterbacks they play, Kyler Murray, they play a good group of quarterbacks that will be tough to sack.
Right.
So one guy getting 10-plus, two guys getting 10-plus, I think it's going to be a bit of a long shot. I think it's possible. I like Rousseau's chances.
They also have only had one double-digit sack season under Sean McDermott. So two in 1 year, they've had one in seven.
Yeah. So, and this might be the best crop of quarterbacks they're going to play.
Yeah, like two double-digit sack seasons ago was Lorenzo Alexander. It's like it's rotational, right? Like that's another part of it. Is it's hard to get double-digit sacks in this defense because the Bills rotate their guys where no one really plays more than like 55%. Maybe Rousseau does a little higher than that, but not much.
First hour in the books. You can join us when we get back. I'm going to lay out my plan for Josh Allen's future.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Consider me his, not publicist, not agent. I just got an idea.
PR.
Sure. Yeah. I'll take over the job. Josh Allen's PR guru. I've got your next 10 years plotted out here. I want you to embrace something for me. Sal at 7:30. UB preview at 8:30. They play tonight. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.